The number you dialed is not a working number. Please check the number and dial again.
Good morning, everyone. You all don't want to tell me good morning?
See, I thought the everyone was
the
all
people
those people
listening.
Who are actually listening.
Yeah.
Another day, another podcast, another dollar, another terrible weekend I had.
Had a rough go. I get a not only a text, but a text with a video for video evidence this morning.
Yeah, I got it too.
Josh, I'm locked out, and I'm taking a ladder to the second floor to break it
well,
in one of my own windows.
I did send a video because, I don't know, that sounds like one of those excuses, right? Where you're just like not wanting to come to work. Oh, I locked myself out of the house. No, I really did. But the good thing is I know that my house on the ground level is impenetrable because I tried. So I had to break into my garage.
Sounded like a challenge, didn't it?
I had to break into my garage, get a ladder, and scale to the second floor, which was a little terrifying. And I climbed in one of my bedroom windows. Just a normal Monday.
You know, it's amazing. Probably nobody even said anything to you while you're doing all this outside, right?
Well, I felt really weird because I live on a very busy road.
Right.
My house is right on. And I know it's my house. So I know I'm not, like, trying to, you know, do anything sketchy. But I know the people driving by is like, what's that guy doing to the windows? Why is he trying to get
in? And in my mind, you're not graceful as you're getting in through the window either. It's like feet sticking out.
Well, luckily, the window I went through is on the backside. So I'm sure my neighbors got a good giggle out of it.
Dad locked himself out at one point and, like, no, that dad was out of town, and I needed to go by and get something out of his house. And he had not left me the key, and it was something important for work, and I had to break in through a window. Nobody said anything. And you're like, are we living in a community where we're watching out for people, you know, as a strange guy just as lifting a lower floor window and going in? Nobody ever said anything.
Your community clearly didn't have one of those community watch neighborhood watch signs in it.
Those things supposedly work. I mean, it's, you know, it's the same type thing. If you put the stickers on your house, it's like save dog, and if you make it a big dog in case of fire, you know, save dog, people assume you have a big dog and then won't rob your house. There's right. Some percentage there that stops it that way.
Well, this is the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. And I am Josh Shores here with Peter Raber and Brian Brummett. And here we go, Brian. This is your moment to shine. We had midterm elections.
We did have midterm elections.
You've got some tidbits.
I have a couple of facts.
Give us a couple, just a couple.
So this year was interesting. We actually spent about $10.1 billion more on midterm elections than the previous record.
We as in other people,
us at Aldebaran.
Well, I was going to say, who is we?
It's Peter.
I don't recall spending anything.
Did not go through marketing people. But yeah, 2018 was the record before this. They spent $6.6 billion, they being state and federal governments, or people going for election. And this year they were up to $16.7 billion.
Wow. That's a lot of
that's
money.
That's a lot of money.
I never understood that. Where does that money go?
So it goes to a combination of things. It goes to running attack ads or non-attack ads, you know, type thing.
This person's terrible.
$1 million.
$1 million.
There was just – and this was in the wake of the recent – attack on Speaker Pelosi's husband. And there was some talk about the fact that most members of Congress do not rate security service, you know, details type things, special service and that sort. And so a lot of these campaign funds actually go for security to protect, you know, representatives. And then there's all the other stuff, mailers, all of the things that exist in your world of the marketing of it. But it also politicians who have these big war chests can use them to get their like-minded brethren and sisters elected. So you might give money to a senator in your state and actually get spent in a state, you know, halfway, you know, across the country.
Man, they're wasting a lot of money. They could just call me and I'd make a video for $100 saying this person's terrible. They'd save so much money. And then I would get hate mail and death letters.
I think we desperately need campaign finance reform. We really do. The problem is it's really hard when free speech obviously is protected by our Constitution. The Supreme Court has said that corporations can have free speech and these political action committees can have free speech. And so it makes it really hard to regulate when we basically say we're not going to regulate free speech.
And we're also asking the people that are benefiting from the way it currently is to regulate themselves on it.
Yeah. So,
so that's difficult too.
But it looks like we're going to have a split government, which historically the market likes. You know, so right now it looks like the Senate is staying with Democrats, regardless of what happens in the Georgia runoff. The House is still up in the air, but it looks like it's going to be a nail biter. And if it goes either direction, even if we have a unified Democrat party in power, there's not enough votes to get some of the harder things. So think about like what Joe Manchin was able to do as being kind of that swing vote, Kristen Sinema, same type thing. You may have one extra vote in the Senate, so maybe a little less power there. But it looks like we're going to be either with a gridlock or, you know. Hmm. But normally the market's up after midterms anyway. That's just tradition because either the country agrees with the direction the country's going or, hey, these new people are going to change the direction it's going. So normally we get that swing in the midterms. The third year of a presidential cycle is always, you know, the best statistically. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of billions of dollars, the $2.04 billion Powerball has been claimed.
Yeah, out in California.
Figures. Like they need more money out there.
Well, that's what it costs to buy a house.
Yeah.
Significantly more taxes being paid by that person, whoever it is, than if they had won it in Tennessee or Florida or, you know, one of the other low tax states.
I didn't win. I'm really frustrated about that, but I also didn't play, so there's that.
I played the one on Friday, Saturday, whichever one that was.
And you got nervous because I told you I was going to buy the company.
Well, and then
Peter's like, no, I'm going to beat him to it.
I didn't have any cash with me to buy the one on Monday. And so you do have to have cash to buy these tickets, which is an interesting rule, and I understand it. But I don't traditionally carry a lot of cash on me anyway with how we've moved digitally. But there was apparently all sorts of mayhem and havoc. The reporting institutions from all over the states made like glitches or whatever it was, and they couldn't get the information out to California to even do the picking on Monday night. They had to do it Tuesday morning. So a lot of people woke up and were like, did I win? And they're like, well, we haven't even drawn yet.
Haven't lost yet.
You haven't lost yet.
just sit over there and simmer on it for a little bit before we break your heart. Well, that's unfortunate, but hey, it'll get back there.
So this would be a question. And maybe, Brian, you've done more research on the lottery numbers. Do you have a better chance of winning? I know it's like 1 in 292 million mm-hmm. when the number of tickets sold because it was $1 billion or $2 billion. Do you have a better chance of winning it when it's down in the tens of millions?
I would imagine that you have a better chance of getting the entire amount because less people are playing.
Okay. That's probably true, too.
Where if it gets up to $2 billion and everybody's playing, chances of you getting half of that because you and someone else pick those same numbers is going to be a little higher.
Yeah. Although this guy, one guy, $2 billion annuity or roughly $1 billion in lump sum.
Heavy sigh. Well, good for him.
Good for him.
Good for him. I hope, you know.
And if you're listening to this and you won. Yeah.
And you want us to fly to California.
We will.
Yeah. Which, I mean, yeah, we'll do it. We have listeners across the country. We're going to address that here later.
Yeah.
That's a little cliffhanger.
That's a little
foreshadowing.
So we've also got the brilliance and the craziness of who we call Elon Musk.
Oh my.
And what? Yeah. Oh my. What's happening with Twitter?
He bought it.
He did.
It's his toy.
So, I've never been a fan of Twitter, or thinking by who listens or knows me knows that. But now it's just, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to.
It's the Wild West out there. Now, it's anytime Elon Musk takes over a company or does something, he normally figures it out and normally turns it into a profitable business. But it can be messy along the way. A lot of promises made, a lot of promises broken, a lot of, hey, let's try this, let's do that. But the big thing has been this pay for the blue check. Mm-hmm. So for being a verified user, he's now charging $8 a month. But anybody can pay $8 a month and become a verified user versus having to prove that you are who you say you are. So he's having all sorts of problems with fake accounts and trolls, and you know, he'll clamp down on it, but right now it's scary.
I don't know the thought process. Who said this would be a good idea? It seems counterintuitive to, you know, the verifying process to just pay money a month.
Elon. Somewhere in his head, I guess.
I know. I had to start paying $8 a month for my Peter Raber account.
but yours,
so that sucks.
Yours is at the real Peter Raber.
The real Peter Raber.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. Like I was telling you guys earlier, there was an account called at actually Coca-Cola. So it's not really Coca-Cola's brand. But they were like, if we get 1,000 retweets, we'll put cocaine back in Coke. And, you know, so people who are Twitter oriented, who get their news from Twitter, mm-hmm. the reliability of what you might see in your feed now, especially in this day and age where people will just forward a tweet or retweet something really quickly. Forward is obviously, I don't use Twitter very often. You know, it can create some chaos.
Well, I'm going to say to the actual Coca-Cola, I love Coke, so please don't ruin a good thing.
So much better than Pepsi.
So much better than Pepsi.
Is.
I will say this. I feel guilty because I have been drinking Wild Cherry Pepsi, and I feel like I'm doing something wrong.
You are.
But I like it better than the Cherry Coke. Cherry Coke's good, but I just something about the, I don't know, it's the sweetness.
I like the vanilla in Coke.
I needed to get that off my chest. I've been carrying that around for weeks, and it's been bothering me.
Well, karma got you back by locking you out of your house.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to do one when we're doing videos. Have you seen the things that are going around where there are people blind taste testing, like Dr. Pepper? And they'll have, like, Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper, Mr. Pibb, and, like, store brands. For the other
Peter
two.
Died.
I died. I hit the windscreen. I can't not talk with my hands. It's a problem. And there's some people out there who are able to nail it. You know, they're drinking through a blind, you know, taste test. And mm-hmm. I don't know that I would have that refined of a palate for Dr. Pepper, but I might on Coke. I could definitely tell you when it was Pepsi and not Coke.
Right. Well, our good friend Dolly Parton has made headlines yet again for something great yet again, because that's what she does. Dolly, we know, is a longtime listener and supporter of the Bullseye podcast, and we appreciate her.
Schedules haven't worked out to get her on
here
yet. Yeah,
we've been emailing back and forth with her manager. She's just really busy, but she's going to try to get in here sometime over the next 2 years, and we're really looking forward. We're definitely videoing that one. But Dolly's going to receive a grant. So I read Jeff Bezos, former Amazon president.
Still? Yeah.
I didn't know if he had, because he had gotten divorced.
He got divorced.
Right? Yeah, so, and I didn't know if
his wife became one of the richest people independently on her own.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know, a lot of philanthropy coming from that, and he has committed to give Dolly Parton a $100 million grant.
So that she can then direct that in her own philanthropic efforts.
Which, you know, I think anyone, especially from the area or knows her, knows that she is obviously very giving, seems to be doing something all the time. So I think that's really neat. You know, a lot of times there's bad that comes from large chunks of money, but this is kind of a cool, warm-hearted story.
I think everybody feels like they trust Dolly to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
It's not like you gave $100 million to...
Joe Rogan, idiot.
Well, Spotify gave him $100 million.
The real Peter Raber at
the
Twitter.
The real Peter Raber.
Yeah.
Great check mark.
Yeah. I was trying to come up with a celebrity that I would not mind knocking, and the first couple that came to my head, I was like, yeah, I shouldn't say that. But you gave it to somebody that you can trust to do the
Absolutely.
Right thing.
Yeah.
You know, she did tremendous work with, helping battle COVID. She does all
the
imagination
fires, helping
library.
With the families that lost their homes.
Yeah,
fires.
I forgot
that was
about
a big
that.
One.
The Gatlinburg fires.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she just, Dollywood keeps growing.
Yeah.
Dollywood's going to become its own town.
It's basically taking over Pigeon Forge as it is right now.
It's like every year they take another chunk of that land that's over there, completely wipe it out, and just keep adding on.
Yep.
Which is really cool. I like Dollywood. Dollywood's changed for me now that I get older. I like to go to Dollywood now to hear the sounds and smell the smells. Does that make me old?
Instead of ride the rides.
Instead of ride the rides.
Yes, it does.
See, I just like to go over there and eat and just people watch.
My perfect trip to Dollywood would be get there, ride Daredevil Falls about 4 or 5 times, eat, ride Daredevil Falls about 4 or 5 more times and go
home.
Yeah,
so we're old. Yeah, that's what Brian's saying.
But I am old. So my favorite ride's Blazing Fury.
My weak back.
Weak back or not.
Now, did they
Here
get
I
rid
come.
Of the water down when it drops?
The water is gone.
Because it didn't have it
show.
Last time I went.
Yeah, it's been a while. It was breaking the ride down too often. So they were like, yeah, we don't need to do a splashdown inside and everything else. But
you look like you've been kissing that steam train.
Yeah, it's a fabulous ride. I've gotten to that point, though, with rides that I'm like, is that ride going to hurt my back? And then if the answer is yes, I just don't ride it.
See, I think I look really bad when I ride roller coasters because I put those things on my glasses to keep them on my head. Because without that, I can't see anything, and I'm just getting thrown around.
You should wear, like, what the old NBA guys used to wear, the big goggle glasses.
Yes.
You should wear those.
I had those when I was young playing rec basketball.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're bad.
Let's see if we can find a picture of that.
Oh, I'm sure there's one somewhere.
I'd love to have that.
If we can find it, I will give you authorization to post it on Twitter.
On just Twitter.
Under the at the real Peter Raber.
We'll see what we can do.
We were talking about earlier having listeners all across the country. And, you know.
Before we do this.
Oh, okay.
I would like to, you know. I've gotten this complaint a few times. We don't talk enough positive things about Nebraska.
Well,
we're about
I don't have anything.
Nebraska, the Sunshine State.
The Cornhuskers.
I hear it's like the beginning of a Disney movie.
Well, we do. We have listeners all across the country. I mean, we're pretty popular. This is really taking off. We're not making any money, but that's okay. We're getting really popular, and people know us when we walk into places, especially if they hear us talk. But we do have a loyal fan and listener out in Nebraska. He was a little disappointed that we don't give enough Nebraska love. So I don't really know how to do that. I've never even been to Nebraska. Have you been to Nebraska?
No.
Anyone?
I have plans to go. There's a Home and Away series with Nebraska and UT, and I think my friend and I and a couple other people were talking about that might be the time that we visit each other's, stadiums.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, this is for you. Go Huskers.
There we go.
That's it. That's all I got.
Hire a good football coach. Yeah. You got a chance.
I told him Scott Frost is probably looking for a job right now.
He is. They're looking at he actually might get the USF, University of South Florida job.
That's what happens. See, it's like this carousel of coaches going big, failing, going to like an intermediate program, knocking it out of the park,
right,
and then going back to the top.
and then doing badly again. You know, Nebraska could go the way the Indianapolis Colts went. They were like, yeah, let's just bring in Jeff Saturday, who's never coached a day in his life.
Well, and they won.
So maybe undefeated. That's what we need to.
Yeah. Well, I felt so bad for him. He seems like such a genuine, nice guy. And he knows football.
Oh, he'll do fine.
All these people were just bashing him, saying, oh, this is terrible. He's never coached a day and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, he knows football. He was like an all-pro football player. He knows.
Yeah.
He played with Peyton Manning. He knows football.
And there you go. Makes it easier if you got Peyton in your back pocket.
No doubt, right?
But, you know, sometimes the head coach really just needs to be a leader of, you know, I was going to say leader of men, but now I'm so self-conscious. That's just an expression, you know. But leader of people, and you know, allow the coordinators to do their job. But we're about to kill Brian though if we keep talking football.
I know. Sorry, Brian.
I watched a full football game the other day Josh's thing,
and now you are no longer allowed to watch football.
Y'all keep talking about how UT was winning and stuff. They didn't seem that impressive against Georgia.
The one game we made Brian watch, we lost. Brian, do not. Turn on football. Don't look at it. Don't talk about it. You just sit over there and be quiet. You're bad luck.
Sounds like a plan to me.
You've been voted off the island.
The music was okay.
The football game was terrible. The music was okay. And the beer was pretty good.
Beer's pretty good.
That's what it is.
Weather was bad. They had these umbrellas to keep us, I guess, dry during the game while we're watching it. But the umbrellas all had holes in them. Like, strategically placed holes to where the water just went on through.
It drizzled for, like, it literally
wasn't
90 seconds.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. But everybody was wet.
All right, let me get back to Chris. Chris sent us an email because we asked people to send in questions if they didn't want to hear us just do what we've been doing for the last 20 minutes. So I'm going to read Chris's question because I think it's a really good one. And Peter, I'm going to pass the mic to you for some kind of direction because he doesn't want me to answer this. So from Chris, he writes, I'm a fourth generation well driller. Our company started in 1930 when my great grandfather needed a pasture well drilled for his livestock and couldn't find anyone to do the work. So we bought a used drilling rig and that's where our company began. Also, pretty cool story. Beyond that, in the last 15 years, my parents have made our company into an LLC. They've told me that I'm inheriting the company, not having to buy it out, but it's an LLC. Does ownership simply transfer from one to another, or is it a situation where shares of a company need to be divvied out? If something were to happen to my parents simultaneously, I'm not sure what would happen. My sister is the estate executor, but no one knows what they will say for sure. What steps could I take to try to ensure a seamless transition of the business side to me, which all parties involved agree is how it should be?
All right. There's a lot to this.
There's a lot to this.
And, you know, when I'm done, you know, kind of monologuing, I guess, a little bit about this, and Brian can chime in, we got to get to the front part of that email, which is fabulous as well.
Oh, yeah.
But family businesses, and obviously I have a decent amount of experience dealing with this since I inherited this business from my father, can be some of the most stressful transitions, you know, that we look at when we're looking at estate planning. And so in this situation, obviously there's things that, unless you're looking at some of the documents themselves, it's hard to say one way or the other, but talking a little bit in generalities, an LLC, limited liability corporation, is just a form of business. So you can have a sole proprietorship, you can have a subchapter S, you can have a C corp, you can have an LLC. LLCs are really good because they protect you from liability. And the thing with passing these shares is it's all dependent upon the operating agreement. So when the LLC was formed, there should have been an operating agreement drafted and signed. And that will normally dictate how shares of the LLC are to be handled going forward. And so you can kind of write a lot of different things into that. The normal things that you would see would be if someone dies, they go to so-and-so, or if someone inherits shares, are they voting shares or are they non-voting shares? And so a lot of times you see a situation where there's, let's say, four or five people who own shares. They might have the right to buy the shares from the persons whose state who passed away. That way you're not diluting ownership away from things and you don't get minority shareholders and all this and the other. So the big things to look at would be the LLC document itself. And if you don't have an operating agreement, it doesn't mean that it's too late to get one. You can always put one in place. And that would allow for the transfer from Chris's dad to his mom and then his mom to Chris. If they happen simultaneously, you functionally merge, and this would happen if you just had a will as well, but you functionally merge the two estates into one. You don't try to determine, like in a car crash, okay, you know, husband died first, you know, and then 2 minutes later the wife died, so we need to flow this way. It's a little bit of a tricky area of the law, and Robert would probably be better talking that through. But the LLC shares themselves, they are shares of a business. Now, you may have 100% ownership of the shares, which is what I have here. They will pass either through the LLC document themselves or through the will. Now, if in the will, if his dad were to pass first, chances are most people have what are called sweetheart wills. So husbands, everything owned by the husband goes to the wife. Everything of the wife goes to the husband, whoever dies first. And then the second person to die, it would flow through that setup. And so it's really interesting. This is where knowing what those wills say is important, because if the will is written differently than what you've already been told, what you've been told doesn't matter.
Right.
The will itself is what rules at the end of the day. And the executrix in this case has to follow what the will says. They don't have a legal way around it. And so if the operating agreement of the LLC doesn't deal with it, the will probably will. And the big thing to watch out so that you have a fair and equitable distribution of the estate, and there's no rules that you have to be even with your siblings, right? So if they want to leave this business to Chris, they can just make it a specific bequest that you get this first before anything else, which is what happened with Aldebaran. I got Aldebaran first before anything else happened. Then my brother got a bequest that my father felt compensated him in a way that was, you know, appropriate for me getting Aldebaran and having worked here and it all being on me going forward and everything else. And then we split everything else, you know, by percentages. You could do that here, but it depends on what the will says. If the will just says everything goes 50-50 to my kids, you've got to pay for it out of your portion of the estate unless your sister agrees to not go 50-50. If all the beneficiaries agree, you can kind of do whatever you want. Don't take that to a lawyer. Just, you know, but basically, I mean, the reality of the situation, right? So, but if it doesn't say that, it could be the type of thing that you're having to go get an evaluation on a business, and then you might have to pay, because let's say this business was valued at $1 million because they're looking at the revenue for the next 20 years, right? And there's only $500,000 in assets outside the business. You know, you might be on the hook to pay your sibling $750,000 to become equal, right? Or it could force the sale of a business. So it's really important to know what the LLC operating document is. And Nebraska is one of those places that has specific rules if there's not an LLC in place. And I think, Brian, you found that rule.
Yeah, I did. It's in the absence of an operating agreement, your parents can name you as a beneficiary by creating a transfer on death document, which is going to act very similar. It's just naming you as the beneficiary and being able to move from there.
But absent a TOD document, transfer on death, it's going to flow through the will just like any other asset, like their home, like their cars, like everything else. So Nebraska, you know, some states are really bad about this, where if the last member of an LLC dies, the LLC is dissolved. You know, and you don't want to run into one of those situations. So I think to make this as smooth as possible, it's having those hard conversations with our parents. What does your estate planning look like? Do you care if I at least see the language in regards to the business so that I can point out things that I'm hearing or seeing, or the law has changed, or whatever it is? And so getting a copy of the LLC operating agreement and looking at what the wills say will ensure what you're expecting to happen, because we see it all the time that so-and-so promised, you know, these three people certain things, and then but none of the assets went to the estate, so those three people didn't get anything, you know, type thing. So it's really important to look at stuff like that. And then, you know, as far as the transfer, if everything's in place, super simple. It's a couple re-registration documents, it's a few things, and every state's a little bit different in that, but you basically become president of the LLC or right. whatever it is, and, right. and you just go about operating your business, and you've got update, you know, all your different agreements with banks and everything else. But it's not bad if the main documents are in place. One way to maybe avoid all of this, though, so if I was looking at seamless transitions, is I would really consider putting that LLC in a trust, because the trust is going to flow outside of the will. And you can dictate exactly how you want it to happen. And then you can leave the will as a 50-50 split or whatever else you want to do. But you're basically taking this unwieldy asset out. And the nice thing about trust is it could be in place that if his parents were to lose capacity but not pass away, that the operation of the trust becomes, you know, down to him, and he can keep operating the business without needing their signatures on checks or whatever it is. And so a trust might be a really good way to avoid, you know, probating this asset and, you know, dealing with it. So, and sometimes within family trusts, you can get a really big discount on what you value the business at. So I would look into those three things: LLC operating agreement, will, trust.
Yeah. And obviously that's something, you know, if need be, we could assist with.
Absolutely.
Great question, though, and it's good to be able to have that question here, because I'm sure that there's other people who find themselves in these situations and they're not really quite sure what to do. So this is kind of a very high-level look at it.
And it's really hard when you're the beneficiary.
Right.
Because who likes going to their parents or their uncle or their aunt and saying, hey, what are you going to give me when you die?
Hey, I know it's cool, but can I have the specifics?
It's like I'm trying to do some estate planning or whatever it is. And, you know, because, in his situation, too, he'll have to think about this for his next generation.
Right.
Which is something I've had to think about for Aldebaran. So if something happens to me and Kate simultaneously, then Aldebaran goes into a trust to manage for their benefit and, you know, unwind or whatever, you know, happens to be. But you've got to start thinking about these things, because the worst thing to do is to allow the court to decide.
Right.
And that's functionally what happens if you die without a will, if you die without these documents in places. And then once people start lawyering up, you're paying more than it's, you know, probably worth.
Right.
And just to settle arguments.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you for the question. We really appreciate it. Also, you know, it's worth mentioning, Peter had mentioned the first part of the email, which I did not read.
It was fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
we all laughed.
Chris talks about listening to the podcast every week to hear Peter's silky smooth voice and to laugh at you other two clowns.
I assume that's us. Yeah.
But, you know, it's good feedback. You know, he tunes in because he says it's worth his time, and he gets something out of it. So we really appreciate that. And I know, Peter, it sounds like you guys do some gaming.
I've known Chris for a while. So my video game of choice has always been Destiny for the last X number of years.
I'm a Mario Kart guy.
Yeah, I'll beat you at that too. but Destiny Alpha came out in 2014, and since then, pretty much, you know, to make the most out of that game, you had to find other people to play with, which was outside my comfort zone. So there was actually an organization called Dads of Destiny that you could kind of find other people on your schedule and form a clan and do everything else. So Chris was part of that clan with me, and we've spent countless hours laughing, having fun. He's one of those guys that I have some weird play times. Like sometimes I'm playing early in the morning, 5-6 o'clock in the morning, and he's central time, so it's even earlier for him, and he'll hop on and we'll play then, or we'll play deep into the night on weekends or whatever it is. So you meet these people when you're playing, you know, games online, and they become your friends. So I would drop anything and go out there, you know, if you needed me type thing, and I've never met him in person, but
Twitter handle Dads of Destiny.
Dads of Destiny.
It's a huge organization.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
He's like, I'm going to swap left on Chris here. Well,
dads have a very odd play schedule because you've got to be there for your family.
Right.
So it really came out of that. It was like, look, none of us are good at, you know, probably social interactions and asking people we don't know. It might be, you know, 18 to 25, you know, playing, you know, online. So
have you found that you've become more competitive since China restricted how long their kids could play video games? All of a sudden, I was just middle of the pack.
If I play a video game, I'm competitive at it. I can't help it. That's my nature.
I'm like a 3 hours Saturday morning done for the week top.
Oh, goodness. Chris, thank you for the question. Go Huskers. But really, go Vols. Woo!
We were back at it. We showed that Georgia was maybe just that much better than everybody with what we did against Missouri. So
yeah, I just can't with football right
now.
Yeah,
it looked like Tennessee was playing a professional team when I watched.
And this is the end of the podcast. I'm glad everybody stuck around. We got Brian talking football. We told him he was not supposed to do that, so now he's going to go get some lashings. But if you are not following us on social media, that's really disappointing, and you should do that because we post a lot of good stuff, funny stuff, important stuff, random stuff. Follow us on Twitter especially. I'm going to be on there just giving it all it's got. I'll probably get fired.
Go down in a blaze of glory. I always tell the kids that I coach, fail hard. There's no point in failing badly.
But if you have a question you want to address on the podcast, just email us at connect@afiadvisors.com. Check out our website as well, afiadvisors.com. And until next week, we will catch you all later. Thank you.